Frederick Douglass was born Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey in 1818, a child in chains in a land that called itself free. He was denied a birth date and a childhood, but he was never denied his humanity, for he refused to surrender it. By his own will, he seized the tools of freedom, the knowledge to read, the courage to speak, and the strength to act. His life was a story of America's unfinished promise, the same story we live today. These are his words. They are our inheritance, they are our warning, and they are our hope. In the fields of Calvert County, Maryland, this young boy learned the weight of chains before he knew the weight of years. He saw a nation that spoke of liberty while dealing in human flesh. From the first days of his life, he understood what hypocrisy feels like, not as an idea, but as an iron collar around the soul.
You have seen how a man was made a slave. You shall see how a slave was made a man. I have often wished myself a beast or a bird, anything rather than a slave. I was wretched and gloomy beyond my power to describe. I was too thoughtful to be happy. Find out just what any people will quietly submit to, and you have found out the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. This struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, and it may be both, but it must be a struggle. This is American slavery. No marriage, no education. The light of the gospel shut out from the dark mind of the bondman, and he is forbidden by law to even learn to read.
Said he must remain ignorant. He broke the law. With stolen words and smuggled lessons, he opened a door in his mind that no jailer could close. In the light of literacy, he saw the truth of slavery and he could no longer accept it.
I heard my master say, if you teach that black man how to read, there would be no keeping him. It would forever unfit him to be a slave. These words sank deep into my heart and called into existence an entirely new train of thought. It was a new and special revelation, explaining dark and mysterious things with which my youthful understanding had struggled with. From that moment, I understood the pathway from slavery to freedom.
September morning in 1838, he put on a sailor's uniform and stepped into a train. He carried borrowed papers, a pounding heart, and a will that no one could crush. He traveled north, not just towards freedom, but towards the rest of his life. Escaping slavery demanded both courage and cunning. It was a gamble with everything at stake.
I now resolve that, however long I might remain a slave in form, the day had passed forever when I could be a slave in fact. Slaveholders are only a band of successful robbers who went into Africa stealing and reducing my people to slavery. I had a right to liberty against every obstacle, even against the lives of our enslavers. No man can be truly free whose liberty is dependent upon the thought, feeling, and actions of others, and who has himself no means in his own hands for guarding, protecting, defending, and maintaining that liberty. Everybody has asked the question, what shall we do with the Negro? I have had but one answer from the beginning. Do nothing with us. Your doing with us has already played the mischief with us. Do nothing with us.
When his words became too dangerous for America, he took them across the sea to Ireland, where he found no color line drawn between himself and others, but he found another people also under oppression. And he knew now that the fight for freedom has no borders.
In Ireland, I have seen no one degraded by me or made to feel that he or she would be exalted by keeping me down. Amongst them all, I saw no one that seemed to be shocked or disturbed by my dark presence. The warm and generous cooperation contrasted so strongly with my long and bitter experience in the United States.
In Ireland, Frederick Douglass was welcomed into homes, invited to lecture, and never treated as less than human. When he came back, his speeches more boldly attacked the hypocrisy of so-called American democracy. How could a nation that claimed liberty and equality treat its black citizens worse than the most impoverished Europeans were treated? This contradiction was cemented in his mind, and he knew he had a greater vision of the role he must play in the shaping of America.
I can truly say I have spent some of the happiest moments of my life since landing in this country. I seem to have undergone a transformation. I live a new life. Admiring her blue sky, her grand old woods, her fertile fields, her beautiful rivers and lakes, and her star-crowned mountains. But my rapture is soon checked. My joy turned to mourning. I remember that all is cursed with the infernal spirit of slaveholding. America will not allow her children to love her.
After arriving back in America, a free man, his speeches were more critical of the Southern slaveholders. But more importantly, he attacked and condemned those who allowed the atrocities to manifest and spread. He was less willing to stay in the stereotypical slave narrative his white abolitionist allies had built for him. He was more determined to speak with authority as a leader in his own right, and to agitate those who perpetuated hatred. This was now the sole purpose of his life, and he attacked with a moral conviction that could not be denied. Here, Douglass exposes not only the cruelty of slavery, but the corruption of conscience that allowed it to flourish. His words cut through the polite facades of his age, and if we listen, they pierce through to ours as well.
The white man's happiness cannot be purchased by the black man's misery. Native Americans, the first stewards of the soil, were driven out by white settlement and have been erased from the conscience of the nation. Not so with the black man. For more than 200 years, we have been identified with its soil under the bitterest circumstances of slavery. We can be remodified, changed, and assimilated, but never extinguished. We are here. There is not a man beneath the canopy of heaven that does not know that slavery is wrong for him.
Douglass was a man of deep moral conviction, but he never confused religion with righteousness. He saw churches that preached charity but practiced cruelty. Pulpits that bless change instead of breaking them. He spoke against a faith that served the master's whip instead of the slave's cry.
between the Christianity of this land and the Christianity of Christ, I recognize the widest possible difference. I love the pure, peaceable, and impartial Christianity of Christ. I therefore hate the corrupt, slaveholding, women whipping, cradle plundering, partial, and hypocritical Christianity of this land. I regarded them with contempt and scorn, too deep for utterance, and my soul revolted at their mean and selfish conduct. The slave auctioneer's bell and the church-going bell chime in with each other, and the bitter cries of the heartbroken slave are drowned in the religious shouts of his pious master.
Douglass believed that the struggle for freedom was incomplete without women at his heart. For him, the rights of women were inseparable from the rights of the enslaved and the oppressed. He knew that the denial of equality for women was born of the same injustice that denied equality for his people. His words remind us that liberty must be universal, or it is no liberty at all.
I believe no man, however gifted, can voice the wrongs and present the demands of women with the skill and power of woman herself. Her right to be and to do is as full, complete, and perfect as the right of any man on earth. I say of her, as I say of the colored people, give her fair play and hands off.
Frederick Douglass belonged to the 19th century, but his voice belongs to the present. He told us that the limits of tyranny are set by the endurance of those who resist it. Let us be resistant. Let us be better than we were yesterday. Let us be, in his words and in our deeds, a people worthy of freedom.
American slave, is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days in the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. The 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. Allow me to say, in conclusion, notwithstanding the dark picture I have this day presented of the state of the nation, I do not despair of this country, drawing encouragement from the Declaration of Independence, the great principles it contains, and the genius of American institutions. I Therefore, leave off where I began, with hope.